Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
All right, good morning, church. Are you ready to study the scriptures together this morning? So excited to hear that. I love meeting God in the pages of his scriptures. You know, the reality is that the Bible isn't just a book with text in it. It's actually God's word. And the idea that we can go into his word and meet him there is really insightful to some people who never actually realized the Bible says God and his word are actually one. They're together. So when we open our hearts and we open our minds and go into the scripture to find what he's saying to us, in a unique way, we're actually going to meet with him. And so the authority of the scripture is such a powerful part of the life of a person who follows Jesus as their Savior. So today, that's exactly what we're going to be doing. We wrapped up our prayer series last Sunday, and today we're starting a brand new series called You Asked for It. And so this whole series really is in response to questions you asked on Easter this year when you came and worshiped the Lord on Easter. And then we asked for many of you to write down the questions you have. If there's one thing you'd like to hear a sermon on or a Bible study about, what are the topics that are most interesting to you? And we got several of them categories of questions back in. We're taking four of those in the month of September to ask the big questions that are on your heart. Today, we're kicking off with an exciting sermon on the issue of eternity. Everyone say eternity. Many people are wondering, is it real or not? With all the stuff that's going on in our world today, when we die, do we just stop? Is there more to it? What's really going on? What's the Bible say? What does God really say about eternity? And so we're going to be talking about that today. Eternity, is heaven for real? And we're starting with this particular scripture, number one, because God is the one who put that in your heart. Look at this passage at the very top of your notes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. The second part of that says, God has planted eternity in the human heart. Here's what that means. When God put you together and formed you, spirit, soul, and body, he put in the core of who you are a question. Eternity. Is it real? In other words, he put inside of you the awareness that there's got to be more than just life as we know it. Because God exists beyond the realm of our own senses. He actually wants you to know that he's there, it's real, and he's working to connect with you in a life-changing way. But you wouldn't know that unless you actually started asking. So God put that in your heart. And so since that's one of the big questions anyway, I thought it'd be a great place to start in the You Asked For It series. A lot of people have different ideas when it comes to eternity and heaven. And so I thought it'd be fun to kind of work our way through some of the questions people have about heaven. For example, will my pets be in heaven? Well, here's the good news. Dogs will be there. Cats won't. I'm just kidding. But we're praying for you cat people. It's real. Here's a funny thing. The truth is there's more biblical evidence for cats to be there than dogs. And the reason I'm saying that is because in all the ideas we have and the warm hopes that we have in our heart about our pets, and I'm a dog guy, so I love my little pets. But the truth is the Bible does give a clear indication that there will be animals there. I don't know if our individual pets make it or not, but the Bible does give us a picture that animals will be there. And the specific things we're talking about in part are, the Bible says the lion will actually lay down beside the lamb and the lamb won't eat the lion. It's amazing. Just kidding. Are y'all awake? So I know it's a holiday, but at least pretend like you're here. All right. So anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Some people are asking, what about marriage? Will we be married in heaven? Well, Jesus said in Luke chapter 20 that we actually won't be married in heaven and we won't be getting married in heaven. There's a whole different context for how relationships works. And he just answered that question pretty clearly. There's not a whole lot of guesswork. Like animals, there is indications that they're there, but there's no real indications that our individual pets there. My hope is that my dogs will have made it, but I don't know. I'm just hoping. However, we do know that the Bible, Jesus himself said in scripture that we won't be married in heaven. And some of you are like, oh man. And others of you are like, oh right. But you can't admit that out loud in church. And so we have a whole new series coming for you in February of next year. It's all about relationships and we want you to love your husband or wife. So what about this? Well, we have wings like angels. Will we have wings like angels? You probably have thought of yourself, wouldn't it be awesome if you just had wings? But the truth is, the Bible doesn't give any indication that people are going to have wings in heaven. A lot of people have ideas about that, but like a lot of other concepts of heaven, it's just ideas. The scripture itself doesn't say that. There is, however, the idea that we'll be able to travel from one place to the next very quickly and cover large spans of distance very quickly. So I don't know, hope maybe we'll all fly jets in heaven, or we'll ride. I have no idea what that looks like, but we can travel quickly, but we don't think, there's no indication that we'll have wings, all right? What about this one? Will there be sports in heaven? I got great news for you. The Cowboys will be there because they're God's team. Pretty sure the Steelers won't be. I'm just messing with you. People say, what's the deal with the Steelers? Here's where all this comes from. When I was a little guy, about 13 years old, the Cowboys were actually really good back then in the 70s. It was really cool. And so the idea was they actually went to the Super Bowl a few times. It was amazing. But the one that stands out with devastating consequence in my mind is the year that Terry Bradshaw, in the last seconds of a Super Bowl game, connected with Lynn Swann for a touchdown and devastated my heart, and I've never liked the Steelers ever since that point. Nothing to do with the sermon, but that's why they don't go to heaven. I'm just kidding, y'all. Stay with me. The idea is that some of the things that we really feel like are important here, sports and careers and all those, we have no idea because the Bible doesn't specifically say. And part of the reason I'm covering these questions with you is because a lot of times we settle on things in our heart that we're pretty sure this is what heaven's going to be like, or here's what is going to really happen. But the Bible doesn't actually say some of those things. And because of that, we have different ideas. And it's possible that we get lost in the labyrinth of questions and miss the whole point that God does talk to us about heaven about. So one last question, and then we'll jump right into scripture, and that is this. Will heaven be boring? Will heaven be boring? A lot of people think heaven's going to look like this. It's a Far Side comic. This guy's sitting on the cloud going, wish I'd have thought to bring a magazine or something. I mean, how many years would you sit there? I mean, playing a harp, you know, that would be hell. That would not be heaven, right? So we're pretty sure that there's nothing in scripture that says you're going to sit on clouds and play harps. There's got to be more than harp music in heaven. That wouldn't be heaven at all to me. So, but the bottom line is people have all kind of ideas about heaven, but a lot of them aren't rooted in Scripture. So what I wanted to do today was take a look at a couple of places in Scripture that talks very clearly about what happens on the other side of life, because that's really the big question. What is it that we can know for sure that gives us hope for eternity? And so that's where we're going to go with this particular sermon today. There may be lots of areas of interest that you have about heaven that we won't talk about, but in large part it's because the Bible isn't crystal clear about some of those things, and we don't want to talk about conjecture. We want to talk about what does the Bible actually say, all right? So we're going to look at what God reveals to us from his perspective about eternity. We'll do that through Scripture. Let's pray. God, be with us today by the Holy Spirit's power and prayer. We pray that you would cause us to be receptive and understanding of how you want us to see what's really happening and what's really true. We thank you in advance for the authority of your word. We receive it with joy. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right. So first, the next scripture is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, says this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know. Do you see that phrase, we want you to know? God wants you to know about what we're talking about as he reveals it, because you and I would perhaps live differently if we actually had some clear perspective about what he says is important about eternity. In other words, if it's not just a vague idea, but there are some real parts to it, it might actually change the way you live. So he says, I want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. Many of us, you guys, have invested people on the other side. We've lost loved ones who've passed away, and every one of us who have lost someone that we love dearly who passes away, there is a grieving that we all go through because we actually loved them. They're not physically present with us, so we miss them. Sometimes their absence highlights things we wish we'd have said or done differently. So there's layers of the pain and complexity that goes with that. It's called grief. But the Bible says for those of us who are born again, who actually have received Christ and have eternity as our promise, life with him in eternity, we actually grieve, but we grieve differently. We actually grieve with hope, not without hope. And it's a different type of thing. And so he wants us to know these things. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised from life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, which means he's coming back, we believe the Bible teaches clearly that there is a clear second return of Christ, that he's coming back. We're going to read that here in Scripture, and we're anxiously looking forward to it. We're not dragging our heels. We're not hoping it's tarried a lot longer. We're actually wanting Christ to come back. And so because of who Jesus is to us, we want to see him. So his return to us is very important. But it says that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. So the loved ones that you have who believe in Christ and received him as Lord and Savior, this particular passage of Scripture helps us understand that when Jesus comes back, he's not coming back as a one-man show. He's actually bringing back those people with him. Isn't that amazing? We're going to talk about why that's such a big deal here in just a few moments. But he says, we tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and the voice of the archangel with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. So here's the picture we see in Scripture. That Jesus, when he and some of you are like, man, this is chewy today, Pastor Dave. What are we talking about? It's called doctrines and theology. There's some things we're looking at Scripture to help us understand a framework of belief and understanding so that our ideas are rooted in truth. So here's what we're looking at. Jesus is going to come back, the Bible says, for those who are still here, and he's bringing back with him those who have died in faith. He's going to go get them from where they are, bring them back, and then their bodies are going to come out of the grave. And then, after that happens, we'll rise. Then, verse 17, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up to the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we believe and teach the Bible is very clear that there is a second coming. It literally will happen, that people see it and sense it and experience it. Jesus returns. He brings with him those who have died in the faith. Their bodies come back out of the grave or the watery graves or wherever they went to. Whatever happened to their body will be reconstituted, rejoined with their soul and spirit. And that whole combination of who they are will be reconstituted, and we who are still here will be caught up to meet with the Lord in the air. That's what that Scripture says, all right? We don't have to wonder about that. Is that going to happen? It's going to happen. Why? It's in the Bible. All right, so that event is going to happen. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So, everyone say so, encourage each other with these words. What does that mean? This is supposed to be part of our conversation. The idea of eternity is supposed to be a part of the fabric of a believer's life. This is not a cotton commercial, this, you know, the fabric of our lives. But that element, that thread of conversation is supposed to be part of what we talk about. And we encourage each other with those things. Why? Because life is hard, life is confusing, and sometimes if we lose hope and lose sight of what's going on in eternity, it will actually slip and slide. And God is saying, listen, root your hope in what's true about eternity so that when life is hard, you keep moving forward. Encourage each other with that. So I want to do that today. Heaven is incredible, and I want you to have a hope and an excitement about it. Speaking of heaven, let me give you two scriptures that sometimes confuse people when they try to line things up in Scripture. So let me look at the first one with you. This particular scenario is when Jesus is actually hanging on the cross. He's between two criminals. One of them does not believe or acknowledge that Jesus is God. The other one does. So the one who believes that Jesus is God says this, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In other words, Jesus, you and I are about to die, but I believe you're God. And when you come into your kingdom, remember me. All right? So Jesus said, I assure you today you will be with me in, what's the word? Paradise. Okay, paradise. Paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. Now let me give you two other pictures that we see. This is coming from the book of Revelation. This is the end of the New Testament. God is dealing with uh, John the Revelator, as he is connecting the thoughts and perspectives of God, showing him, and God is passing through him some things we need to know, and this is how God chooses to reveal this part of eternity. He says this, Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. What did he say he saw? He saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had what? Passed away. In other words, there is something God's doing in transitioning at a certain point, and what we know in one mode is transitioning out, and God is creating a new heaven and a new earth. So here we have paradise, new heaven, new earth. Pastor Dave, I'm confused. Well, join the crowd. A lot of people are confused about that. And again, this is where I want to make the point of this. The Bible is given to us so that we connect with God, who is bigger than we are. He's more complicated than we are. He sees things from a more complex perspective because he's bigger than the creation he created. So he lives beyond the time-space manifold that we live in. He's bigger than that. But he has the responsibility, he's taken the initiative, I should say, of communicating to you and me who are trapped in this smaller perspective. He's taken the initiative to try to communicate. Here's a couple of handles I want you guys to understand so that as you're living your lives that I've created you to live in, you keep living forward. Does that make sense? He's not trying to confuse us. He's just trying to say, bigger than you're going to understand, but trust me with this. So in the one hand, we see Jesus is saying that right now, people who have passed away in him are in this. He said, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, we know from another context in Scripture that the Bible says to be absent from the body, for those in faith, is to be what? Present with the Lord. So there is a place that's called paradise that Jesus connects with people who have passed. But that's different than what the Scripture said is a new heaven and a new earth. So the reason I'm covering this thing's really a couple of things. Number one, I want you to know it's there, and sometimes you'll hear people debate and argue about these things. Don't waste your time. Don't get stuck in all that, because it's possible to get so dogmatic about a particular nuance of what eternity is that you completely lose track of what you're supposed to be doing in life right now. So God tells us some of these things so that we keep leaning forward. But you and I need to understand, we're not going to see the whole picture clearly. There'll be a day we see it clearly. It just isn't today. So why did God give it to us? Why did he give us the Scripture? In part, because he wants us to know, something awesome is coming your way. Lean in on it. Let's go. Let's do this together, all right? But the bottom line is, because it's coming for you, I'm going to tell you what to live in the life you're living now. Because once we get to that point, it's too late to do anything about where we're at. So now, what we want to do is acknowledge that there is a good chance you're a lot like me, which means, God, I wish you'd have told me in more detail. What's it going to be like? I want to picture this. But the truth is, God told us exactly what he knows we need to know so that we keep moving forward. So my caution to all of us is be open to let the Lord show you from Scripture what he wants you to know about eternity and the spiritual world that we live in. But don't get swept up into ideas and all kind of silly stuff. Stay rooted in the life that you live. Stay obedient now, because if we're obedient now to live like we're supposed to live now, when we see the other side, we'll be perfectly lined up with it. Does that make sense? So that's the best I got for you. I want to know more about it, but I'm not God. So I'm just going to take what he reveals, move on. Let me point out a few things that God shows us in Scripture about heaven. Number one, write this down. Heaven is real. It is a real place. Heaven is not a state of mind. Heaven is not a figment of your imagination. It's not an apparition. Heaven is not a feeling of peace. Heaven is a real place. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 16. This is talking about the new Jerusalem or the new heaven. It says, the city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia, which is 1,400 miles in length, and as wide and high as it is long. What's he saying? This is not a feeling. Heaven is not an apparition. It's not a phantomy something. It's a literal place. Heaven has got measurement to it. It's got depth to it. It's a physical new place. So it's not just a spiritual idea. It's a real place. Number two, heaven is a right place. Heaven is a right place. What I mean by that is heaven is where God makes everything right. Sickness is gone, terrorism is gone, anxiety is gone, fear is gone, death and disease are gone. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has what? Passed away. You know, sometimes I hear people go, you know, heaven is great and everything, but I just like to live here on earth a lot longer because I'm not sure about heaven. And I'm like, you're thinking in an old order. I would every moment of my life exchange pain, terrorism, tragedy, sickness, death, disease. I'd trade that in an instant for what God's showing us about heaven. So I'm not hanging on to an old order. I'm ready to roll. It's like, bring it on, God. That's the way he wants us to live. It's real and it's right. Everyone say it's real and it's right. And it's right. Here's what else it is. Heaven is a relational place. It's a relational place. We get to enjoy the relationships that God designed for us to actually enjoy them in. You know, I want you to think for a minute about the way relationships work in this life. For most of us, the idea of relationships start in a home that we were raised in. And many homes are filled with tension and stress, the pressures of culture, all kinds of things, pain and suffering. And then you got culture against culture. You got all kinds of just strange, hard dynamics when it comes to relationships, right? I got to start at the top and do this whole thing all over again. Yes, everybody, that's the answer. Yes, we do. All right. So when it comes down to the issue of what God's creating us for, even in the context of marriage, you have a husband and a wife. My wife and I have been married for 27 years. By the way, pass the word, long marriages are in. They're just in. Okay, here's the thing. There are nuances and dynamics of our relationship I'm still learning. I'm 27 years into it, and I'm still learning. Relationships take a while. So think about this. It's possible that God gives us the capacity to be a husband and a wife together in the covenant of marriage without the distraction of other people in the intimacy part of who we are as a husband and wife so that we actually learn how to connect relationally. Not just get along, not just, well, I'll have Thanksgiving dinner with my crazy uncle because he's a nut, but I'm stuck with him, his family, but I don't like anything about him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Relationship is not just getting along, it's connecting. And that's what we're made for. And not just with a husband or a wife or the kids or the neighbors. Look at this. I love this. Relationships. And how God sees all these things. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Then the angel of the Lord showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of that city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit in every month, the idea there of seasons. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the what? Nations. Okay, check this out. He's saying in the new heaven and the new earth, I just said earth, there are still nations. There's still ethnos. There's still ethnic groups. There's still ethnos. There's still cultural diversity. I mean, a lot of times we don't, maybe you haven't thought of it. Maybe you thought that God's going to make Chinese people look like they live here in Gilbert or something. In heaven. We all just kind of look the same and we think we're the ones that are the same everybody else is supposed to become. But it's not. God created the nations for a reason. He loves the ethnos. He loves the diversity. He loves all of those things. And it's going to be just like that in heaven. Why? Because the nations are there. I mean, you've probably heard somebody say, well, if they're going to be there, I'm not going to be there. I'm like, you're probably right about that. You definitely won't be there if that's how you feel about it. Because relationships are important. God created relationships. So it's a relational place. All right? More importantly than just getting along or relating with each other, however, and this to me is the cat's meow about all of this. Then I got to pick up the pace. Revelation 21 verse 3 says this, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men or mankind, and he will live with them. They'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. What is he saying? No more of this, I can't see him anymore, I know he's there, and by faith I receive it, and I can feel his presence, but I'm not really sure. It's like God said, I'm going to take all that dimensional constraint away. We're going to hang out. We're going to be together. Can you imagine hanging out with God? Not just quiet time, like, Lord, I'm so grateful for your presence, and I feel you today, and thank you for your wisdom, and all the things you might say. It's just like, I mean, what would it be like to watch a cowboy game with Jesus? He'd be definitely pulling for him, I'm sure, but, oh, I'm coming. All right, here we go. All right, so bottom line, it's relational, not just with each other, but we get to connect and relate with God in a fresh, in a powerful new way. All right, last one. Heaven is a rewarding place. Heaven is a rewarding place. The Bible says in Revelation 22, verse 12, behold, I, Jesus, am coming soon, and my reward, everyone say reward? Reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has what? Done. All right? What is a reward? A reward is a repayment. It's a repayment for something you have done. And this is a little bit confusing to people, so let me try to bring a quick little insight to it. When it comes to your relationship with God, Jesus Christ himself paid for that. The Bible gives us the picture that grace, through grace, our faith in Christ and what he's done for us, gave us free access to be reconciled back into relationship with the Father. We can do nothing to work for or earn that relationship. Jesus paid for that one. Got it? But I would say that the Bible makes a clear and compelling case, especially with scriptures like what we just read, that what we do after we are born again is phenomenally important for eternity. It's not that we just want to be born again so we get to go to heaven and avoid hell. It's we get to connect with God relationally. We're going to spend eternity with him relationally. And then what do we spend the rest of our life doing? What's it all about? It is about leveraging the rest of your life for God and his kingdom. And his kingdom. Your whole life, if really get this, your whole life is not about this life at all. Your whole life is about meeting God through Jesus Christ and leveraging the rest of it for his kingdom. This life is actually not about this life. It's about eternity. It's about eternity. So, my hope is that as you're going through this, what you realize is that God is saying, listen, eternity's real, your choices matter. Eternity's real, what you choose to do with your life counts. Jesus cares about how we spend our lives. So then how does God want us to live? Let's look at this together. God wants us to live for eternity now. Look at Titus chapter 20, or I may have a typo here, verse 11 and 12, 11, 12 and 13. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we who are in, and we, excuse me, are instructed. Everyone say instructed. If you're taking notes, they circle the word instructed. God says, I'm going to instruct you on something. Now think about this. Why do we need to be instructed? Because we either don't know or we are not doing what we know. So God's going to come alongside and instruct us on something. We are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God while we look forward with hope to the wonderful day when the glory of our God and our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. In other words, while we're living in this life, we're living in a world dominated by evil thought and culture. While we're living in here, we're supposed to be actually living a life that is characterized by wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, looking forward to eternity with Him. God wants to instruct us today, don't just live for what's expedient or what's pleasurable now. Start learning to live for what's coming. All right, what does that mean? Well, let me give you these three quick fill-ins. Number one, I need to renew my relationship with God. I need to renew my relationship with God. Or perhaps you need a new relationship. You either need a new one or perhaps some of you need to renew your relationship with God. Look at this verse here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. It says this, but in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward. You see that phrase looking forward a lot here today, don't you? The Bible says, I want you to live this life looking forward, not just looking at me or looking at right now, but looking forward and letting that dominate my perspective. Looking forward to a what? New heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, now watch this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. All right, I'm not going to talk a lot about this. I'm going to ask you a deep, penetrating question. I'm not asking about your neighbor, your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents. I'm asking about you. Today, when you look at your life, would you say that you are making every effort to be found blameless, spotless, and at peace with God? Or are we just living like, I'm American, and I drink Diet Pepsi, and I just want to watch a movie this weekend, and I really don't care anything about what happens to you, and, you know, I like to watch wrestling, and I mean, it never dawns on me I'm supposed to actually put effort into living blameless before God. What? No. I don't pay attention to that. Live how I want to live. You see these two different ideas? One perspective God wants us to have, He said, I want to instruct you on how to live. Eternity's real and it's coming. Since it's real and I'm telling you about it, here's what I want you to do. I want you to focus on that and then live for that, not live for now. And then make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. So perhaps some of us in here today honestly need to renew our relationship. You may be looking at your life and said, I don't ever think about that. I just go to church and I said the prayer, so I'm good. What are you talking about? Jesus says, no, I'm instructing you how to live in light of the fact eternity is real. Are you living blameless before God? Are you living spotless? Are you spending every effort to be at peace with God? Because if you're not, then today's a good day to renew your relationship with Him, to make new or start a new one. Number two, I need to refocus my energies. I need to refocus. In light of the fact that heaven or eternity is real, heaven's real, hell is hot, it's coming your way. In light of the fact that all that's real, I've got to renew my relationship with God and I need to refocus the energy of my life. What does that mean? Look at Jesus when He said, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where that doesn't happen, okay? Listen, let me accelerate this for a minute. Jesus is saying, listen, don't spend your life storing up for yourself stuff here on earth. Instead, spend your life storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Okay, the only reason in the function language has, the only reason for someone to give you an instructive or a directive imperative sentence like that is that you were either doing it or you weren't doing what was right. In other words, the reason Jesus said to them, don't do that, is because, bluntly, that's how they were living. Does that make sense? Since they were living that way, Jesus said, listen, you're making a mistake. Don't waste your life trying to build up your life, trying to build up your status, trying to build up the comforts and conveniences of your home, trying to build up your impressions of who you are. Don't spend your whole life building this life up. Instead, spend your life storing up something else, treasures in heaven. So he says, you're going to spend your life storing up something. You're either going to be spending your life for this life or you're going to be spending your life for eternity. Spend your life for eternity. So you may be asking, how do we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, Pastor Dave? Because really, I'm just trying to be a good Christian and I'm trying to make sure that I pay my taxes, I save a little bit of money, have a little fun with my family, go on a little vacation. What does this mean, store up for myself treasures in heaven? Let me put it to you this way. How many of you, we probably all agree that if you're near this age, you'd especially agree that saving for retirement is important. Okay? Kind of a sore subject right now, but just the way our economy's going. But the bottom line is we'd all acknowledge that in essence, preparing for your retirement through savings is important. One of the things that people do, not everybody does this, but one area you can put money into as an investment is called the stock market. Anybody ever heard of the stock market? Okay. The stock market is a very complex, convoluted, crazy environment. And everything just happens real fast in it. It's just amazing how fast everything goes. You gotta really know what you're doing if you're gonna invest in stocks and bonds, yes or no? Okay. So if you're really wise and smart and know how to do it, then you can get in and do okay. But for the person who's beginning, a lot of times, financial advisors will suggest that what you do to take advantage of the potential of the stock market is don't just buy stocks. Buy something called a mutual fund. And I'm not giving you stock advice today. I'm not saying you should do this. Got it? I'm using an example. The reason they say if you're interested in playing in the stock market, start with some mutual funds first, is because you can put your money into something in a simple way and let somebody who knows what they're doing with it really take the guesswork out of it for you so that you end up with some of the benefit of it, but you don't have to know how it all works. You can just start into it that way. Does y'all understand what I'm talking about? Okay, so that's a way you would invest for your retirement, a way. Again, please don't sue me because I'm not giving you financial advice. I'm just trying to use illustration. In a comparable way, you may say, how can we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven? How does that work? All right? The easiest way to start into that is realize that anything we do in obedience to Christ and serving others on behalf of Christ is an investment into heaven, into eternity. There's all kinds of scriptures for it. The Bible talks about it. You give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. There's all kinds of things about this, but here's an easy way I want you to see this. That one of the ways that we as a congregation can help you start or fulfill this is to say, you have a place to serve others in the church family that you're in. It's called a ministry. You also have a mission in the world. So at a very simple way of understanding how to store up for yourself treasures in heaven, make sure that you serve in the ministry of your church and in the mission of your world. What does that mean? Well, one of the things we do at LifeLink, and everything at LifeLink is intentional about helping people connect with, linking people and God together for life. Bottom line, we help to equip people with practical, hands-on ways to obey God's directives to us, so we equip people for God's plan for their life. And one of them is giving them access to ministries in the church that they serve in and helping them get ready to serve in their mission in the world. We do that through something called the Growth Track. We offer the growth track every Sunday night at 5 o'clock with a free dinner, childcare. We take all the excuses out, so all you have to do is show up and we'll help you get connected in a life and a process that allows you to connect in with ministries in the church and get you lined up for your mission in the world. Why? Because we don't want you to spend your whole life not doing what God wants you to do. Will you grow through that into understanding more complex ways of storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven? Yes, but the truth is, you guys, a lot of times, people will sit right in the seats in a church and they'll never actually engage to serve people. And they'll never actually be intentional with reaching out to others. So at LifeLink, we challenge one another. Are you serving in your ministry in the church through Growth Track or in a ministry team? Or are you reaching out to save others and bring them to the gospel of Jesus Christ, inviting them, okay? Which brings us to the third thing, all right? So serve on the dream team, bring people from your group to a place where they can feel and find God, which an easy way to do this is invite them to church with you. The third thing is, bottom line is, I've got to renew my relationship with God, refocus my energies. Number three, I need to reach people. I've got to reach people. Jude verse 22 and 23 says, be merciful to those who are in doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. What's God saying? Let me give you this whole, 35 or 40 minute sermon in a couple of sentences. Number one, God is saying in a crystal clear language, eternity in heaven is real. Jesus paid the price for you to have a relationship with God so you can go there with him. And thirdly, what you do with your life after you're born again makes a difference. So once you give your life to Christ, he wants you to live your life with purpose. What purpose? His purpose. Does that make sense? So that number one question on the inside of you, is this thing for real? God wants you to know, yes, it's real. Jesus made the way, and the choices you make with your life matter. So do what God wants you to do with your life. Amen? Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you that you're doing a great work of recalibration in our lives. Today, God, I was observant, Lord, as you began to work in the understandings of people's minds, as they begin to open up their heart to realize that we're not perhaps living for you like we should. That perhaps we're distracted with the things of life and we only pay marginal attention to you from time to time, or perhaps you've really convicted us today that there are areas of life that you want us to give to you so that we'll have more opportunity to serve in the church and serve our mission in the world. Heavenly Father, today I want to say thank you for helping us understand that eternity's real. Jesus, you paid the price to give us access to life with you eternally. And that the choices we make with our life make a difference. So today, God, I'm asking you would give this congregation grace to know what is it that I need to do. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to say to you, to be honest with you, I feel like many of our church family either needs to renew their commitment to Christ or needs to refocus your energies, that God's talking to you about something. So as a pastor in this church, I'm asking you to pay attention to what God's talking to you about. Father, release your grace in this place and help us step into that. Now, as you continue to pray with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to say that there are some in here today who know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm not living my life for God in any way. I don't think about him. He doesn't weigh into my decision making. I just do what I want, when I want, how I want, with who I want. I never talk to God about my life. I'm not living under his lordship or his leadership in any way. And it dawned on me today as you're preaching that I need to fix that. I'm a long way from God. So some of you in here today know you're a long way from God. Number two, others of you used to be closer to God than you are now, but you've just let life kind of creep in around the edges and distract you and pull you away. And you feel God pulling you back today and say, no, refocus your energies on me. Renew your commitment to me. So in a moment, I'm going to pray with those of you who either you know you're a long way from God, or you used to be closer to God, but now you're drifted away from him. Or number three, you're in here today. You're not exactly sure where you are with God. You just know I want to make a decision to be right with God and start a fresh relationship with God. So any of those three conditions, when I count to three in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up so we can pray a prayer together. All right, I'll count to three in just a moment, and I want you to make a decision to do that. Don't overthink it. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to embarrass. I won't embarrass you in any way. So you slip your hand up so I can connect with you, and we can pray this prayer. All right, one. All right, this is not hard. It's just a simple decision. You feel God talking to you. You're ready to make a decision. Two, this is just you and God, but we're going to pray together. When I count to three, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up so I can connect with you, and then you and I can pray together as a life change prayer. Ready? Three. Slip your hand up. Leave it up just for a moment. One, two, three, four. Who else? Five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Who else? 13. Anybody else? Okay. 14. Thank you very much. You can put your hands down. Okay, everybody look at me just for a moment. Okay, 14. 14 of you had your hand up and say, hey, Pastor Dave, that's me. Life change prayer today. I'm doing this with intention. My head is up. I'm praying with you. I'm at that place of decision. Here's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying to you, number one, thank you for acknowledging God's doing that in your life. Number two, thank you for choosing to respond to it. Three, thank you for letting me help you pray this simple prayer. It's an honor to do that. Number four, this is just one step of many steps God's going to lead you on to maximize what he's doing in you right now. And you have to decide to take those steps together too. We'd love to help you do that. But the first step is a life change prayer. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, come on everybody. Heavenly Father, today I thank you for the truth of your word and the power of your scripture. Jesus, forgive me for all of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Today I'm turning my whole life over to you. Come into my heart, the middle of who I am, and be my God. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you as my God. No other God, no other habit, no other person will be my God. Just you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's just give the Lord praise for that.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.